believe the life of a Christian, God, we should be having moments throughout our life where God is just blowing our mind. And I remember crying out to God for help. I was faithful in another man's company for many years. And then God began to birth in my heart my own vision.
Get ready for this show, because this is going to be a game-changing episode, a show that you're going to want to play again twice, three times, four times, five times, because the guest that was difficult, because you're operating so amazing in the kingdom right now. What you guys are doing in Kingdom 320, you're making such a shift in the Christian community. You have a lot going on. So I do want to start by saying it's an honor to have you here. But the reason why this show is going to be so special, Jeff, because of the man that you are. You know, I've gotten the privilege of being in proximity to you. I met you at church, you and your wife, Claudia. I remember the first time you guys gave me an opportunity to share an Emerge testimony. That was such a moment for me to step on that big stage to share that. And you guys gave me that opportunity. And over time, I got to know you. And what I love is in life, I look for mentors, some that I'm very close with, some I'm far away from, but people that have fruit in their life that I want to have. And guys, the guest I have today, he's an amazing husband. The way that he does husbandry is honorable, it's noble, it's an example setter. He's an incredible father. The way that you lead your children, Thank you. You are a father that I'm like, hey, I have guys that have paved the way that I can look to show me how to be a good dad one day, because I didn't have one. And then in the marketplace, right? I love business. This is a podcast. We talk about business. We talk about entrepreneurship, but we don't discount. We don't sacrifice family for That's money. Right. And so I only bring people on the show that I know embody it all. Health, wealth, relationships, and most importantly, the relationship with God. So guys, welcome to the show, Jeff Rakowski.
Dude, it's so good to be here, Cody. An honor, man. It's definitely an honor to be on your show.
Yeah, so let's start it off, because before the podcast, there's so much gold. Like, I'm so excited. I'm trying to hold it in over here. You said God is shifting the church from addition to multiplication.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me ask you this question, Cody. I mean, and the viewers, you probably have a name or two come to mind when I ask this question. But if I were to ask you the biggest voice to the Christian church over the last 30, 40, 50 years in terms of finances, what name probably comes to mind?
Dave Ramsey.
100%. You know, and I respect, and I admire what Dave Ramsey has built. I mean, it's a $300 million a year company. His message is very much about getting out of debt, cutting up your credit cards, saving your way, you know, to retirement. And there's a value to that. I really believe when it comes to your wealth. As Christians, we're called to be faithful to God in our personal walk to Him, right? Spend time with Him in His Word, forgive people, go to church. But faithfulness is very easy to determine if we're being faithful with our wealth. And it's really, is the wealth multiplying? You know, is it growing? And if you haven't noticed, you know, I mean, our country is drifting pretty far away from God.
Yeah.
And I really just believe there's an anointing right now to that God is looking to transfer wealth quickly into the hands of His people to do good on this earth.
The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, and a 100%. Good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. It's in the Word.
Oh, it's straight out of the Word. And, you know, just, I mean, We recently just closed a pretty sizable real estate deal. Excited about the acquisition. But one of the things I'm most excited about this particular one is that a good portion of the profits are going to this organization called Family Policy, for instance, that is fighting against, you know, fighting for religious freedom in our country, specifically pushing back and fighting against the transgender movement. And, you know, that's something the fact that those words have to come out of my mouth, that we have to fight these things today is really, to me, mind-blowing. But the bottom line is, if Christians don't stand up for these things, who's going to? And just the reality is, here on earth, there's certain things that can only change through influence, through wealth.
Yeah. Man, you just said, if Christians don't stand up for these things, who's going to? Yet the Christians that are standing up, that are taking territory, that are taking and drawing a line in the sand and saying, this is not okay.
Right.
The Word of God says this, and what we're doing doesn't align with that, are the ones that are being attacked more than anybody, even by the church.
It's so true. It's so true. But, you know, we were talking earlier on the show. If you look at my Facebook, you know, account, especially on some of the ads that we run for the business, man, some of the stuff that people say about me is really, in my family, is mind blowing. But when you look at who's saying these things, it is majority, if not all, 100%, quote unquote, you know, Christians, you know, that attack. But every time you want to go cry about it, you know, you just pick up the word and you look at what Jesus endured, you know, and then you're like, okay.
And Jesus did say, you will be persecuted in my name. Like you know that he literally like told his disciples, by the way, when you go out and build my church, you will be persecuted.
It's absolutely right. So it's funny that we're surprised by it. You know, we hear, I get a lot of backlash for, you know, preaching the prosperity gospel, for encouraging people to create wealth, you know, to have dominion. But when you look at the word, I mean, the Bible says literally that he will help us create wealth.
Yeah.
And ultimately when we become good at a craft, or he'll place us in front of kings. But in some cases he says, I will place, you'll go through persecution, but that will also place you in front of kings. Mm. And in either scenario, God will be with you. He's looking to get his message, you know, through us to the world. And sometimes it's through persecution. Sometimes it's through prosperity. Sometimes it's both.
That's so good. So let's do this, because I think this is important to give context to the conversation we're going to be really diving into today.
Yeah.
Not everybody knows who you are. Jeff, just so y'all know, Jeff doesn't like content. He's out there building the kingdom of God. And I'm the lucky one that talked him into all this content stuff, get to work with you. And it's been really cool. I look up to you in so many ways. And
thanks, man.
I will let you know one thing. The reason, Jeff, just so you know, the reason why I feel this content so important is there's people that need to hear what you have to say. And you know, you just said something, if Christians don't stand up for it, who does?
Right.
If Jeff Rakowski don't speak what God has given you, who does? Right. So I'm grateful we have that. But for those that don't know you, you have a story of losing everything and gaining it all back with God.
Right.
And that's why you're qualified to teach on building wealth for the kingdom of God. Can you give us a snapshot of your journey? Because it's easy to sit here now, man, acquiring a commercial property for $27 million and be like, this guy, like he's touched by God, right? But the thing is, they don't understand like the journey you've been through with God to be qualified to even do that kind of business. Can you take us through that?
Yeah. I mean, it starts February 20th, 1999, literally in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, serving in the U.S. Navy. That's when I gave my life to Christ. And I just never forget that moment, you know, praying to this Jesus that I never, you know, heard about, but, you know, never had an experience with. I just remember being filled with this peace that just made no sense. And it changed everything in my life. And shortly after that, I'm back in my hometown of Milford, Connecticut, and sitting in a Sunday church service. There was a guest speaker that day talking about marketplace ministry. And this is 2000.
I bet he was persecuted back then.
Oh, man. He was. The church was not ready for that message back then. But halfway through his sermon, he just stops and he asked me to stand up. And he says, young man, I have a word for you. God's going to use you to fund his kingdom. I see tens of millions of dollars flowing through your hands. I see you buying and selling real estate all across the country, teaching other people how to do the same, especially God's people. And I remember sitting there. I'm about to turn 22 at the time. I'm broke. I'm living with my dad. I think I walked to church that day because my car broke down. But when he spoke, man, I was like, I just felt my spirit leap, you know? And so I just dove into real estate. And, you know, I did. I tried to figure it out on my own, you know, just reading books, watching videos, and had some success. And then, you know, 2007 got wiped out, lost everything going into 2008. And it was a tough time, you know. I mean,
you were just married, right?
Yeah, we were actually married 1 year.
Wow.
And I remember crying out to God for help, and then we find out we're pregnant. And I'm like, God, that's not. I don't know if like I'm speaking the wrong language or something here, but like I can't take care of myself right now. But anyways, long story short, we lost everything. Our house was being foreclosed on, and you know, I'm 27, 28 at the time, new baby on the way, married a year, moving back into the bedroom I grew up in my dad's house. It was pretty, you know, low point to say the least. I remember one particular day praying and just breaking down in God's presence and just not knowing what to do. And I just remember feeling a peace. It felt like the same thing I felt when I first asked Jesus into my heart.
Wow.
And at that moment, it was like just a sign that, man, God, he's with me. My story is not over. He's not done with me. you know, because when you go through something like that, it's recovering financially actually is not that difficult, but it's really the
mental toll it takes.
Oh yeah. 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 Cause you just think you're in this hole that you can never get out of. But I remember feeling that peace. And then a couple of days later, a buddy invites me to a real estate seminar and I'm in New Haven, Connecticut, and I'm sitting in this room and the speaker, Than Merrill, comes up there and he's talking about the success he's having in real estate. He shares his mentorship program. And I remember just feeling like, man, I need that. You know, I knew I was called to real estate. I knew I could take risk, but I was lacking education. And you pay for education one way or another, you know, through the way I paid, the hard way, you know, going through it. So I'm just like, this is what I was missing. So I get into this guy's program and just have it, you know, really just took off. And just, you know, the business just really started exploding, wholesaling properties, rehabbing properties, buying rental properties, building, you know, a little bit of everything. And I started doing so well that my mentor at the time, just he trusted me to go start coaching his students and teaching his students. And,
wow.
You know, before you know it, I'm traveling across the world, you know, speaking to the United States, and just probably, you know, in front of audiences totaling maybe $40,000 over the years, and building my portfolio.
Wow.
And everything this guy, tens of millions of dollars flowing through my hands, real estate owned, you know, in 10 different markets across the U.S. right now. But about a year and a half ago, I remember getting off stage in Dallas and doing a 3-day event. And, you know, you speak for 3 days, you're tired. So I was tired.
You're exhausted.
That's normal. But I remember getting off stage and just feeling like just not right. Almost depressed a little bit. And I go back to my hotel room. I throw on some worship music. And I felt the Holy Spirit say so clearly, Jeff, you're not giving people the whole truth. And I knew in that moment, Cody, that I could no longer teach people how to create wealth in real estate without incorporating God's word and our faith. Because God has a lot to say about money. He's got a lot to say about building business. And there's as Christians, we're held to different standards than the world is. There are certain things that will hinder our business from growing that literally will not hinder somebody that doesn't believe in God from growing.
Right.
You know, we were at this past weekend where my wife and I were at a marriage retreat, and our pastor was sharing, Pastor Jurgen was sharing, you know, just when he hires campus pastors, he says 80% of your job description to, you know, 80% is developing and having an incredible marriage.
Wow.
10% is speaking. And just because, you know, I mean, the Bible says, if we're not prioritizing our marriage, for instance, you know, that will literally hinder our business growth. You're not, you know, I had a student that their business has really just exploded since they came into our program. And I remember asking him, you know, why? Was it the coaching? Was it the webinars? Was it the live events? He was like, no, Jeff, you helped me forgive my ex-wife who cheated on me. The moment I did that, my business really started to grow.
Wow.
I tell my daughters all the time, God will never love us more than he loves us now. We can't earn more of God's love. We can't lose any amount of God's love, but his blessings here on earth are conditional on us doing things his way. When you do things his way, man, that's just, he's able to put his hand on your efforts and multiply your efforts in ways you never could.
Wow. Come on, dude. That's so powerful. Thank you for sharing that. And I think to even expound more, you had this amazing career making good money,
yeah,
and, you know, doing something you were passionate about and you love with real estate, but then leaving that stage, you're like, that's not the whole truth.
Right.
You know, they're not getting the full multiplication they could get. And because I'm a part of a company, you know, amazing company too.
Yeah. Great company,
phenomenal company. That's not faith-based though. I can't on stage share that whole truth, right?
Sure.
And that feels like, and it's like a tough thing. So you did what 99% of people would never do. And you left the safety of the career you spent, what, 20 years building, 20 yeah. plus years?
Yeah.
And you took a leap of faith and you trusted God. And sometimes we got to move for God to move.
That's right.
And you launched Kingdom 320.
Yeah.
What is the heart, the mission, and the vision behind Kingdom 320?
I mean, it's really, you know, it's teaching people to invest in real estate God's way. And collectively, you know, really my goal is to, Billy Graham, you know, prophesied the next major move of God would be in the marketplace. And it's happening.
Yeah.
Like I've never seen before. And I believe Kingdom 320, you know, we're called to be a part of that and really help raise up an army of entrepreneurs, you know, that will influence, you know, the earth, you know, for representing God. I love the parable of the talents, you know, in the Gospels. I talk about that a lot, and I'm sure everyone's familiar with the story, but the ones that multiplied their wealth, they were rewarded with two things. They were rewarded, first of all, with more wealth.
Yeah.
And second of all, they were given influence over cities. And really, you know, there's been a doctrine in the church for many years, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, like stay out of the world, just stay in church, wait for Jesus to get us out of here. Stay out of politics, stay out of business, arts, entertainment. And the church, unfortunately, has done that. So you have, you know, all of these significant areas of culture really being run by ungodly individuals. Yeah. Not all, but most. So God's looking to shift that. And it just takes wealth. It just takes wealth and influence to do those things. So I really, that to me, that's the overarching mission of Kingdom 320.
Yeah. And 320 is scripture, right?
It is. Ephesians 3:20.
Did we say it to us? Is it the kingdom of God is not one of talk, but one of power?
No, close. Well, actually, it's not close at all.
Okay.
But
which one is it?
It basically is communicating that God wants to do above and beyond what we could even think or imagine according to the power that works in us.
Wow.
So I believe, and we believe at Kingdom 3:20, you know, the life of a Christian, and this isn't that.
Oh, I know what I was getting mixed up. Sorry. Nicholas, yeah. The mastermind. I mean, the scripture for King's Brotherhood is that one. Oh, there. So that was top of mind for me.
No problem. But, what was I saying? That scripture, you know, I believe the life of a Christian, God, we should be having moments throughout our life where God is just blowing our mind, you know, exceeding our expectations.
Yeah.
And then that's not to say life is not without challenges, that we don't get persecuted. We don't go through stuff. We talked about that earlier. But to me, you know, and I'm always talking to my community, and this is for all of you listening, I really believe this is a word from God for you, and it's simply to raise your expectations. Because if God wants to do above and beyond, above what we could even think or imagine, that means the more we could think or imagine, the more he could go above that.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
That's so good.
So if we could only think and imagine this, then, you know, he's exceeding it here.
Yeah.
But if we could think and imagine this, then, you know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, we have one shot at this life here on earth, right? We'll continue in eternity, but we have one shot in this life on earth. And it's just, you know, so why did I leave that comfortable career? It's just because when it came down to it, I want to enter eternity and hear those beautiful words, well done, you know, good and faithful servant, that I did what I was supposed to do. And as long as we're on earth, we're going to be challenged to break through ceilings.
Jeff, I couldn't agree more. Such a synergy and alignment too, because I believe that we have to take territory, like you said early on in the podcast, because if we don't, who does?
Right.
And I even believe that, you know, it's interesting looking at the church and the Christian community, and maybe they've done the best that they can with the mindset that they have, but it's like Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. And therefore, he also knows that if I can't get you to sin, which separates you from the Father,
right,
then I will distract you and keep you busy with meaningless things so you can never fully step into who God has created you to be. I don't want you to know the power you have.
Exactly.
I don't want you to know the authority you have. I don't want you to access it.
Absolutely.
So if you're going to be a good Christian and go to church and live obedient to the laws of God, it's cool. I don't want you to know you're capable of wealth. And he's out here freely handing it to people. Satan also has power. He also does that. He freely gives to those with their heart in the wrong place. And there's this battle going on, and I see it. And it's amazing seeing thought leaders in the ministry world, prophetic people like Billy Graham prophesy what we're now living. And I just think it's so cool. But there's still Christians, Jeff, that are, they're driving in their car right now. They're listening to this podcast. Mm-hmm. They're at home watching it on YouTube, and they're still limited in the mindset.
Yeah.
They still have lacking beliefs around wealth and money. Why are Christians called to build wealth truly?
I mean, truly, it's to advance God's kingdom. And I really believe, you know, when you look at, that's a general statement, advance God's kingdom. So let me be more specific. Is I've been studying God's word for almost 1999, whatever that is, 20 plus years. And I see three purposes for creating wealth. So three reasons God wants us to create wealth. Number one, simply provide for our families. God wants us dependent on only him. Mm. The devil wants us dependent on government, and the government right now is happy to fill that role. He wants us dependent on family members, but God wants to be able to provide for our families. And I believe, you know, I have two teenage daughters, and, you know, I want them to earn what they get, but I want the best for them.
Yeah.
You know, like I believe, you know, and how much more our Heavenly Father. I believe God rejoices when we take our family on nice vacations, you know, eat delicious food at nice restaurants. You know, the earth is the Lord's, and and we're his children, right? So we should be entitled to enjoy it. Number two is, you mentioned it earlier, to leave an inheritance. So many generations, generation after generation, you know, they're starting where the previous one started as well.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest prayers for my daughters is, God, I want them to fight new battles, their own battles. I don't want them inheriting any of mine.
Wow, that's good, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, so you think about the poverty mindset, like how, I mean, even those of you listening right now, I mean, just think about, you know, just your parents, your grandparents, you know, what was finances like for them? Were they struggling? Was it 9 to 5, paycheck to paycheck, you know? And if you don't break that, you know, who's going to? And there's a little quote, I'm not sure who's responsible for it, but I love it. But, you know, it ran into my family until it ran into me. Now, in the area of finances, the poverty mindset is a huge one. So that's number two. And then number three is to advance, to promote God's kingdom.
Yeah.
And we could all be called to create wealth. And by the way, abundance and wealth doesn't necessarily mean I believe every person needs to be a multimillionaire. Some are called to be, but all are called to abundance.
Yeah.
You know, and so anyways, I think those are the three big reasons.
That's so good. And earlier you hit on like the seven peaks of influence, different spheres of influence that govern our world. How, you know, you look in these areas and arts and entertainment, I mean, you look at what's going on with Hollywood right now.
Yeah.
And the demonic oppression and the perversion, the twistedness that is, I mean, Hollywood has a lot of influence.
Yeah.
And they're influencing, you know, the entire upcoming generations, controlling their thought life, music, government. Like there's these, you know, education, like all of these spheres. And it's like, you know, you have Christians that just want to sit on the sidelines and pray that things get better, but they don't even realize, and this is the way I see it, and I believe you see it, that God's calling you to get in the game, that he'll equip you, but you got to be expectant for that. You got to be willing to step out. If we just had, I mean, Christians outnumber the enemy.
100%.
If we actually all stepped up into our calling, we got on school boards, we ran for government, we went after the dream God gave us for our business. Yep. Like we would, if we, you know, like more Christian actors, like we would influence culture and we would see an abundant world that we live in. Yes, I just speak to that for me for a moment.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, Cody, and that's what God is looking to do. But the, you know, the Bible says that the enemy walks around like a roaring lion. I think he's doing a good job intimidating the church to where I don't want to speak out because I know the backlash. That, I mean, think about what it takes to run for politics today. I mean, you know, if you're throwing your hat in the ring to run for politics, they're going to smear your family in every which way, dig up anything that they can on you. So I think, you know, the devil intimidates, but you're starting to see that shift. And, you know, as Christians, we are responsible for speaking truth. The balance, though, is, and this is difficult, honestly, and I think the church at large, is speaking the truth in love. Because, you know, obviously, you know, we're called to fight. I mentioned the transgender movement earlier, you know, issues like that. We need to speak out. We need to protect our children, but we also need to do it in a way where we're loving these people at that, you know, at the
same
time.
They're still our brothers and sisters.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So it's just like, to me, there's a balance with that. And, you know, just when I make comments, like I just mentioned, we have a deal, we're giving some money to a ministry that fights against that, then I'm instantly labeled as a homophobe and full of hate and all of these different things. So it's just, you know, that to me, that's where, you know, kind of the battle is. But it's just truth always wins, man. And again, nothing changes on the earth. Nothing changes unless God's people initiate the change. Yeah. But it started, we have to start in our homes. You know, if we did nothing more than focus on having great marriages and great families collectively as a body of Christ, that right there would fix so many of the issues.
Yeah.
Right. We're very quick to go, you know, speak into other areas, which we should, but you know, sometimes not, you know.
Do you feel that one that should always be the primary, it sounds like, right? Like make sure your marriage is good, your relationship with your kids are good, you have a godly home, you're leading in the home.
Yeah.
Before you go try to lead in these other areas?
Yeah, I mean, not that you have to reach perfection and when, you know, the Holy Spirit leads you to speak in this stuff, but to me, that is the primary, these are the people, I have one wife, right? Claudia, of all the people that I've ever walked this earth, God
amazing
gave me.
Amazing woman.
God gave me Claudia. So it's just my responsibility before anything else, you know, is to her. And then my children after that. And really I see business as a distant. So in my life, you know, it's my relationship with God, it's my relationship with Claudia, it's my relationship with my family. And then you got business, a distant fourth. It's amazing because when you don't just say that, In 2008, I just said that, but if you looked at my life, I was really chasing money.
Yeah.
And there was a striving to it. There was like, it was such hard work, but going bankrupt actually was, looking back on it, it was such a tremendous blessing because it humbled me. And now I wasn't just saying it, now I'm living it. And it was almost like it shifted to where wealth almost began to kind of chase me down.
Wow.
It just became a lot less effort involved. When you prioritize the things, but it's almost counterintuitive, right? We're taught to grind, you know, get a side hustle, a second job, all of these things.
Well, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it's like all these things get added to you. Yeah. People think you're lucky, but really you're obedient in your quiet time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I had the privilege a couple weeks ago, we were talking about this earlier, but myself and a small group of entrepreneurs, we had the privilege of spending 2 days with David Green, the owner of Hobby Lobby.
Yes. Yeah. You're taking one of my questions on. I love it. This is a perfect segue.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was going to ask what you learned from that.
Oh, man. Let me share a couple of things. First of all, if you're not familiar with Hobby Lobby, about a $15 billion value of the company. Year to date this year, they gave away over $1 billion. First year giving away over $1 billion in one calendar year. You went to this place. I was sitting at a table with John Maxwell, and John Maxwell stands up, and it was his first time meeting David Green. And he described it like the Queen of Sheba meeting Solomon, where you heard the stories, but now that you're seeing it, it was even more spectacular. Their main camp, it was just this campus, their headquarters. They had pharmacy for their employees, free MRIs, and it was just amazing, you know, how they care for people. But he was sharing a story with us about 25 years ago where his business was struggling, Hobby Lobby was struggling. And he was kind of what I said, you know, God was a part of his life, but just a part, not in everything. And he basically made a commitment to God that day. And when I was there, it was his 25th anniversary, 25 years, not missing one day in God's presence, not missing one day reading his word. And, you know, he's just like, people come to me all the time and they're like, what's the secret? How'd you do this? I tell them how I spend time in God's word and I pray. And they're like, oh, well besides that, you know, really, what's the secret? He's like, that's the secret. Like that is the secret. There's not another, you have to work hard. There's business strategies. We have to learn. We have to grow. All of that stuff. We need mentors. That is all part of it. But, you know, he said, what is the number one thing that he credits the success to? And that was it. It was amazing. And another, you know, he talked a lot about ownership versus stewardship. How are we running our business as owners or stewards? Who really owns our business?
Wow.
And I tell my students all the time when they're starting a business that you have a partner. You know, if you're a partner with your spouse, you have another partner. You're literally partnering with God. If God put a desire in your heart to open a business, as a Christian, that means God placed that desire there. So that means God actually has a desire to run a business on the earth through you.
Wow.
And, you know, so if you have a business partner in the natural, Nick Unsworth is my business partner. We communicate regularly. We talk, we make decisions together. We interact. So, you know, I treat God the same exact way. So yeah, ownership versus stewardship was a huge, takeaway. And then, what else? Oh, he shared this story in 2010. You may remember this, President Obama, he passed Obamacare, the healthcare law. And part of that law was companies like Hobby Lobby, they were required within their health insurance policy to their employees to include abortion pills. There's four different kinds. He obviously said, you know, this does not line up with God's word. I don't agree with this. And basically refused to do it. And it got taken all the way up. Their headquarters is in Oklahoma. It got taken all the way up to Oklahoma, you know, Supreme Court, whatever it was. And they lost. And Hobby Lobby was being hit with a fine of $1.3 million per day, every day they did not comply. And he basically made a decision that I am willing to lay down this business. I am willing to bankrupt it if that's what it takes before I compromise what I believe.
Wow.
And it's an amazing story of faith, but he took it all the way to the Supreme Court for the country and won. And you know, it was willing to lay down everything.
And who's willing to do that? That reminds me of Abraham.
Yeah.
With his son and putting him on the altar, ready to sacrifice and burn his only son.
That's what it was. So it's just, so I think you asked me my top takeaways, and I think it was the faithfulness piece that, that led into it. But yeah, we have a business partner. Are we including him in our, in the day-to-day app?
Yeah. You know? And you know what I love about that is as Christians, so many, there are so many Christians with a business.
Yeah.
There's few kingdom builders.
Right.
And I think a kingdom builder, they're willing to lay down their business for God. Yeah. If that's what it takes to align with his word. But how many people listening to this podcast, are you willing to lay your business down to align with the values? You say you're a Christian, you yeah. own a company, but do you operate in obedience to that?
Yeah.
I don't think most do.
I don't know. You know, I would agree with you. I don't know percentages or anything like that. But one thing I would say is, you know, I have some good friends that they've done over 33,000 real estate transactions as investors. I've done a lot, but I can't even wrap my head around.
Man, that's probably more days than I've been alive.
Oh, it's nuts. It's nuts. But they had a HGTV show years ago and they got canceled, you know, for speaking up on their beliefs. And I think it was like 2010, 2012. And you know, they just got attacked. Their businesses got attacked. Some bank accounts got froze. It was pretty gnarly what they put them through. But they were uncancelable because of all the real estate that they owned. The thing is, I think where a lot of Christians will bow their knees, so to speak, when the finances. You know, if we have a job, right, we could get fired from that job.
Yeah.
If we have a bank account. Bank account could be frozen, but. But when we own cash flowing real estate, that's what they said. They you know, because a lot of people be silent when it's going to affect them personally. So just some thoughts on that.
That's so good. Well, this is a perfect segue because, okay. Jeff, you've one thought on that too is I believe that God always makes up the difference.
Always.
So even in the natural, when we feel like we're taking a loss in being obedient to him, we know that he's always going to make up the difference and yeah. exceedingly and abundantly
yes.
beyond that. And you see that. So you've been attacked. You've yeah. stepped out. You guys run ads. You speak this and you've been attacked on social media.
Right.
And that's not easy.
Yeah.
Like you're fighting in the front lines. Like the way I see it, I see like a vision, like, dude, you're taking territory and combating Satan in his land, like yeah. that he thinks is his land. It's God's land.
Right. Right.
And there's pushback
yeah.
and the world's attacking you and people are hating on you and hating on your family. And I have some of the comments. I would love to give Jeff the mic to respond to what some people have said to you to where you can speak back to that. Because there's a lot of keyboard warriors in the world.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
let's give you a platform to actually speak back to
all
this.
Right,
and
let's do it.
You don't see a lot of this. So here's a comment you guys had on one of your ads that says he's Christian based and then goes on to say he can't help you if you're broke. How is that God? Like he is terrible. If you have so much, why not help those who have nothing smash, but you're so religious, right? And you can just tell a little bit about the person through the grammatic there, but I would love you to respond to that. They're saying that you say you're a Christian and can help people, but can't help those that are broke, probably referring to the programs that you guys offer that cost money.
Sure, sure. Well, it's interesting, you know, I mean, to the poor, Jesus said to preach the gospel. You know, poverty, first of all, is not a mindset. You know, it's a spirit, you know, in some cases, but you know, we're a for-profit business, you know, and there's this kind of mindset, I guess, that just because you're a Christian that you're, you know, expected just to give stuff away and things like that. And I'll be the first one to give my program away and I've done that many times to individuals because the Holy Spirit spoke to me to do that. But as a business practice, I mean, that would be completely foolish. So I think, you know, I mean, when you're selling a product, I mean, to me, leveraging somebody's experience and expertise and mentorship to me is just one of the biggest shortcuts to success. You know, one of the things I learned in 2008 after going bankrupt was I realized the whole time I was really asking the wrong question. I knew God had called me to real estate. So the question I was asking, well, how do I do it? How do I flip a house? How do I buy a commercial building, et cetera? And I realized the whole time the question I should have been asking was who? Who's where I want to be?
Yeah.
How do I hitch my wagon to theirs? But yeah, you know, adjusting to the hate, it was I knew it was out there. I knew I would get some, but I've just been shocked with how much. So what was the point of his again or hers?
I mean, this one was basically just saying basically you're saying you're a Christian, you want to help people, but you can't help people that are broken. I think you answered it pretty well. You know, you are running a for-profit business and you're doing so much good. And Jesus does call us to preach the gospel to the poor.
Sure.
And because that's the first thing that they need. They need salvation. Because often they need to find their power within their relationship with Jesus Christ. But then you get attacked when you go build a company that then teaches that believer how to build wealth because you don't give it away for free.
Exactly. Yeah. It's wild, man. It's wild. Yeah. You know, the ads are on my account, so my wife wasn't aware of them until just a few weeks ago, and so she's having more of a hard time than I am, for sure.
All right, well, let's keep going. All right, this one says, wow, you're pathetic. Oh. Good is about salvation, not money. That's why he died. I think he meant God. Enjoy your wealth because you won't be enjoying what's next. He cares less about money, you Pharisee.
Whew. That's a good one. That's a good one there. Well, all right. So God is about salvation, not money. Let's start there. God is about salvation, yes. But is he only about salvation?
Mm.
You know,
Come on, somebody.
When I look at the ministry of Jesus, I see salvation first. Like, you know, if you look at Christianity from a high level, to me, it's three stages. It's salvation, it's deliverance, and then as being launched out into your purpose, you know, taking territory, how God has called you to do it. So I would disagree with that statement, that God is about salvation, but not only. And I would say God's about money too. You know, is the love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible tells us. But again, if it takes money to have impact on the earth, God is looking for people that he could trust with that money. You know, I always tell my students, you know, when you, God gives you anything, money, you keep your hand open. If I put $1,000 in your hand and you keep it open, then I could come and take 100 out. I could give it over here, 100 over here, wherever. And so God can flow through my hand. But the moment I hold on to it, when my trust, when my love, you know, is towards money over him, that's where you could get in trouble. And when I got saved, man, I mean, all I wanted to do was preach the gospel. I used to walk the streets of New Haven, Connecticut at night and just randomly talk to people and, you know, pray with them and, you know, lead them to Christ and all this stuff. And then I started going speaking. You know, people always ask where I learned to speak. And I always tell them prison. And I'll pause and I'll be quiet. And then I was part of a prison ministry. I'd go preach the gospel. I'd go into rescue missions and all of that. And I enjoyed that. But the one thing I realized very quickly is the people that owned and ran these places had such a big heart, but they were always broke.
Mm.
And I began, you know, God began to place in my heart just a frustration that why are God's people, you know, often the ones that are just paycheck to paycheck or these, they have the biggest hearts, but struggle in this area. Not all, but many of them. So God began to put a desire in my heart to create wealth, to reach more people, right? So that's something, you know, I get criticized a lot, you know, that we're supposed to seek God, not seek money. And that's 100% true. But if God put a desire in our heart to create wealth, that's going to expand his kingdom. You know, we always keep God first, but we if he put that desire in our heart, we have an obligation to pursue
and a stewardship.
That. A stewardship.
To multiply that, right? Like 100%. The parable of the talents. And also one thing Marco Contreras pointed this out to me. In the parable of the talents, I always wondered, like, why did like one get five, one get two, one get one? Like there was a different amount of talents given. It said direct according to their capacity.
Yeah.
And that's always been something interesting for me. You know, the one that buried it in the ground had the least capacity.
Least.
And then you have people that are given big dreams.
Yeah.
And there's a stewardship. Like if you're a five-talent man, are you burying the five talents in the ground? Or are you multiplying it to then get dominion? And you talked about inheritance. So if we look at God as a father who has children and we're his children, you're a dad. You want nothing more than to see your daughters prosper in this world.
Absolutely.
So it's like, why would God create a world, put man on it, give him dominion over it, and want him only to operate in that first phase of get saved? But hey, this whole world I created for you, play small.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. And I think it's a cop out to me. It's easier. Like,
go there.
It is if you are struggling financially, you're afraid, things aren't working out for you, it's just easier to point your finger and say the person succeeding is doing it wrong to feel better about your miserable situation. Plain and simple. You know, it is. And I've been there. I've been there in my life. You know, it is. I remember being broke. I remember living on food stamps. I remember just, you know, looking at other people and having jealousy.
And it's hard to take ownership.
Yeah.
So it's very easy, especially in the Christian community and faith. I do think some people are hiding behind faith.
Yeah.
And they're not operating in like who they were created to be. And they try to use that to justify, like you said, and cop out and make themselves feel better.
Yeah.
Like if the guy in my, who has a great heart, who's a great husband, who's building successful companies,
right.
If I just tell him that like, he's not a true Christian because he makes money, then I feel good because I'm playing small.
Exactly. You mentioned the parable of the talents again, and the one that was given one and basically put the cash under the mattress. He said he did so because he was afraid. He was afraid of the master. And I think people that are not having success in that area or not know they're living, you know, below what God's calling them to live. It's just, it's fear at the root, and it's easier just to, you know, point and tear down somebody else, quite honestly.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going here. I want to get through these. There's part it might cut off here. Let me see across. Okay. The prosperity gospel, they're throwing that at you again.
Yep.
This distorted view of Jesus says that he guarantees his followers a happy, healthy life with no troubles. But the truth is this: Jesus suffered. Those who believe in him will suffer too. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross, and will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me, Matthew 19:21.
All right. I mean, the prosperity gospel, first of all, there's, when I read my Bible, I read and I hear the heart of a God that wants his children to prosper. So I do believe the gospel is a prosperity gospel. To me, where the prosperity gospel goes off the rails is when it's just, you know, when it's just about yourself. Remember earlier, I said three reasons to grow up: provide for your family, future generations, and the promotion of God's kingdom.
Yeah.
If you're just trying to create wealth to provide for your family, or teaching that, you know, to get another car, get another vacation home, nothing wrong with those things. But if that's all you're teaching, I would give that person that. And there are people out there that preach that type of stuff, but that is not what we're about. God wants his children to prosper. I know that as surely as I'm looking at you. In terms of, you know, what they say after the beginning of
that?
They
were just saying it's a distorted view of Jesus saying that he guarantees his followers a happy, healthy life with no troubles. So he's saying that you're saying that the prosperity gospel is preaching that it's going to be happy, healthy, and life with no troubles.
Yeah, that's not at all what we teach, but there should be a lot of happiness and healthiness in our life, you know?
Yeah.
We go through challenges. We go through trials. We will get persecuted. All of these things. But like, to me, it's kind of like I mess around in the stock market. My expertise is in real estate. But when you look at the trend of a stock, you know, if you look at the trend of Tesla, started down here, it's up here. In between that, there's highs, there's lows. But the overall trend is up. And the Bible straight up says that the path of the righteous winds upward, that there should be an upward trajectory, you know, in our lives. But yeah, man, it's just a different mindset, and you got to love them. And it's funny too, because I don't look at the hate mail a whole lot, but when I do, it's pretty much, but it's not coming from the world. It's coming from the church. It's coming from, you know, Christian. So I think mixed into that is just, you know, the spirit of religion, you know, as well. And that's, you know, Jesus didn't, you know, read the word. I mean, he didn't have a problem with anybody except for the Pharisees and the religious people of the day. So
that's true. He only got mad twice, when the fig tree didn't produce fruit and when he flipped the tables over.
That's right.
Because of what they were doing. And it's crazy because you had like Jesus performing miracles on the Sabbath, like people that couldn't walking.
Yeah.
And the Pharisees didn't even acknowledge the miracle of a man walking.
Right.
They were more bad that religiously he broke a law.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it really is, man. And, you know, religion is, I always tell people I hate religion. You know, people that know me, they're like, that's not true. You go to church, you know, a couple times a week, you know, all of that. It's just that, you know, when I gave my life to Christ, the first 6 months of my life as a Christian, I was living out of a Navy boat. It was all about just having a relationship with, you know, in religion, the word itself is a good word. I think it means to bind back to, and there's religious institutions, but it's just whenever it's like more about rules and traditions, and it's like this dogmatic, you know, approach, and it's trumping relationship, it just tends not to be a good thing. And if you really look at the lives of the people that live that way, they're usually not that happy.
That's so good. Well, I got a couple more questions I want to ask you before we wrap up here.
Okay.
What advice would you give to a Christian entrepreneur who's successful but sick and tired of making money at the expense of time spent with family?
Man, that's a great question. So, you know, the thing is this, it's just three reasons, again, to create wealth: provide in future generations, promote God's kingdom. I think a lot of people that get frustrated and just get stuck into making a lot of money at the expense of the family, it's they don't know how God is calling them specifically to promote his kingdom. And essentially, they don't have a vision for their life from God. And what's interesting about when God gives you a clear vision for your life, he's always going to bring the provision needed. So I was faithful in another man's company for many years. My vision essentially in my career was to serve his vision. And then God began to birth in my heart my own vision, which, you know, became Kingdom 320. But it came first by serving another man's vision. And then it really came out of like just this restlessness inside of me that I just knew there was more out there. And God, what are you calling me to do? What do you have for my life? You know, as kids, man, we just dream, you know, we imagine all the time, you know, and just as adults, you know, this world can kind of beat you up and you just kind of get stuck in the rat race and, you know, you get a big salary, but then you go buy a home, get a couple cars. So now you're dependent on that salary. Now a couple kids come and, you know, so it's just like, you know, there's more, but now finances keeps you bound. So to me, the first thing would be get on your knees and start asking God, what do you have for me? What's the vision for my life?
We can go be successful and make a lot of money in not the calling or purpose that we really have on this world. Like, making money is actually easy.
It is.
You know, you can go figure out a million ways to make millions of dollars, and you can go execute, and you can be diligent, and you can be consistent, and you can create results in our world, and you can amass wealth. We see people do it all the time that aren't Christians. Finding like that true divine alignment for your assignment. And if we know anything about God, he's about family.
Yeah.
Like, he prioritizes family over everything. So when you step into a purpose that God has given you, he's not going to— sure, there's seasons you need to build the kingdom. Absolutely. And you need to go fight the war and take the territory.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you look at King David and all that. I mean, he fought a lot of battles. There was time he was away from his family.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, God still created that family.
Yeah.
And I just feel like what you said there was so powerful, because to the Christian that is asking this, and it's like, man, Jeff, I'm making all this money, but like, I feel like I'm never there for my kids. I feel like I'm not a good father. What I'm hearing you say is go spend time with God.
Yeah.
Listen to him and he'll give you the answers.
Yes. And then when you get the answers, then it's really just, it's stepping through fear, stepping out in faith through fear, you know, is what it comes down to. The one talent guy, again, he knew what he was called to do. God gave him a vision, multiply the money. You have one talent. I'm giving it to you. Going away. I want you to grow this money. So he knew what God was calling him to do, but now it was the fear of stepping into the unknown.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've just learned that, you know, the greatest things that have happened in my life every single time has always lived on the other side of my fear. You know, and we know the Bible didn't give us the spirit of fear, but I believe there's a healthy fear. And I tell my daughters a lot to follow the fear. Because, like, think about it, is like, I think this is the camera, right? That's on me.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're here and God wants to take you here, the enemy is not going to put fear over here. He's going to put it from between where you are and where God wants you to go. So it's really, you know, getting the vision, getting a sense, and then you're confronted with, okay, now I know what I need to do. Am I going to trust God, you know, that he can make it happen? And I'm saying it like it's very easy, but I remember very clearly making that decision to step away from a very cushy career. And when I informed the owners I was stepping away, they made me an incredible offer to stay. And most people, you know, would say I was crazy for not accepting it, but But again, it's just, I just knew what God was calling me to do.
Wow. That's so good. Come on. What advice would you give to a Christian who's tried or is trying real estate, but it isn't really working out for them so far?
Well, I believe to succeed in real estate, you know, you need three things. Number one is you need a mentorship. You need somebody that knows what they're doing, guiding you. Real estate is a business where it's very true. You can make a lot of money very quick. There's been more millionaires created through real estate than any other asset class.
Yeah.
But you could lose everything.
just as fast, if not faster.
Yeah, just as fast. So it was like I said earlier, for many years, I'm called to this. So how do I do it when I should have been asking, you know, who's doing it? So mentorship in any area of life is just a shortcut to success. Any area. Number two is you need education. You know, Benjamin Franklin said the greatest investment we can ever make is an investment in education, because once you know something, it's now yours. Once I love seeing a student. One of my favorite joys as being a mentor is seeing one of my students complete their first deal. Because now it's not theory anymore. Now you just did it. Now, yeah. And once you've done it once, now you can just go
over and over
again. But you need education, you know, in order to do that. And then number three, I would say, is a community. You know, one of the, I didn't know how bad I needed this personally, but working in the secular world for so long, you know, kind of an undercover Christian, speak from stage and then have private conversations. I just longed for a community that believed like I believed and that was all trying to create wealth for a bigger purpose. And there's just something about, you know, having a community of people that are encouraging you, that are pushing you forward, you know, and all of that, because I don't care if it's real estate or any business, man, like you step out, you're going to want to quit. You're going to have doubts.
Over and over again.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, you're always, you know, so to me, it's like having that community. And honestly, I never could have launched Kingdom 320 without the community, you know, we have at Awaken Church.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Colin specifically was just one person that, man, just every time I wanted to quit, you know, he just wouldn't let me, you know, so it's just, we all need that, you know, we all need that.
That's so good. I love that. Get a mentor, get education, get a community.
Bam.
People that push you, man, that's so good. How can a Christian entrepreneur tell the difference between a money-making hoax and a legit business opportunity?
That's a great question. Well, you know, I mean, I'm very adamant about, you know, in my company, you cannot coach for me. You cannot speak on stage for me. You cannot even be in a sales position for me unless you're doing the business.
Mm.
Our coaches, I'm always proud. Like, you know, we have like 27 coaches now, and I think our least experienced coach has done 27 deals. So,
wow.
So it's just, I think we have like 3,800 deals collectively just with the coaches. So to me, it's just like, is the person that's offering a product or service, are they practicing what they preach? Are they still doing it?
Yeah.
And you like, in my mind, that should be like a natural thing, right? Like, yeah. You know, but it's just not, unfortunately.
Yeah, people buy stuff from people all the time that are selling something that they don't actually have the experience in doing.
Yeah, 100%. So I think that is it. Anytime you hear any slogans or phrases like, you know, get rich quick type of stuff, you know, I tell my students on day one, you're not going to be a millionaire tomorrow unless you're a millionaire right now. You know, if you want to buy a duplex, it's not going to show up in your property tomorrow. We got to put in the work.
Yeah.
Right. We have to pay the price, you know, type of thing. So, so just, and then as Christians, you know, I mean, the ultimate way is just, you know, the Holy Spirit will let you know if there's a red, yeah. You know, there's a concern about going that direction. So always be prayerful in those type of decisions.
Yeah, that's good, guys. Yeah. You know, do your due diligence, know who you're looking to, what you're looking to invest in. Is there fruit? And seek God, seek the Holy Spirit. Yeah. There's wisdom there that many Christians, I don't think, actually go to and access in the way that they can.
Agreed.
So here's another good one.
Okay.
Why are so many Christians afraid of going into debt when they hear about real estate? And this ties into that Dave Ramsey, right? Because he was the biggest in the church and never take on debt and pay off your car and pay off your house and never carry debt. But I know you have a different philosophy.
Yeah.
And I know the wealthiest people in this world also have that same philosophy that debt can be good. So what would you say to that Christian that's just like, but Jeff, I'm scared of taking on this debt for real estate. I don't, that just doesn't feel right.
I'm so glad you brought this up because it probably is the number one objection we get,
yeah.
especially in our live events. And, you know, the Bible says we're called to be the lender, not the borrower.
Mm.
And that scripture has been thrown in my face so many times over the years. You know, Jeff, I agree with real estate, but you shouldn't be teaching people to borrow money to go into it. So debt, first of all, I believe is just a tool. You know, like fire, for instance, could be used to take a life or save a life.
Mm.
And it's not good or bad. It's just your education around how you use it. I believe that, you know, is the same. And God, you know, it's interesting because the number one, like this is unique to the United States of America, but the number one tool to accelerate and create wealth in the United States of America is debt. It just is. Other countries, you want to buy a property, not all, but most. If you don't have the cash, you're not buying the property. So leverage is just one of the biggest accelerators. And I remember personally, though, having this struggle because I did Financial Peace University in Connecticut and I taught it, you know, for one class and I did the whole Dave Ramsey, you know, thing. And again, I respect Dave Ramsey. I respect what he built. And God used him to help Christians really stockpile a lot of wealth. As I said earlier, now he's shifting into multiplication. But I remember just really praying and asking God just for like a peace in this area because, you know, Dave is telling me one thing. And then the people that in real estate are accomplishing the things I want to accomplish are all saying you got to leverage. So I remember God leading me to a story. I think it's in 2 Kings chapter 4. But there's a story of a widow. Her husband had passed away. And she was left with a lot of bad debt, right? There's good debt and bad debt. She was left with a lot of bad debt. Her house was essentially going to be foreclosed on. She had two sons that were going to be taken as slaves. She's smart, though, because she cries out to God for help. She goes to the man of God. And he says to her, well, what do you have? And she's like, I don't really have anything. I have a little bit of oil in a jar. And this is not my point, but it's important to know that God always starts with what's in your hand, whether you're starting. I mean, I started my business with $200 out of bankruptcy. So it doesn't matter if we have $2,200,000 to start. God will multiply what we put in our hands. But in this case, she goes to the man of God, says, all I have is the oil. And it's interesting because he instructs her, I want you to go around the community and I want you to borrow as many empty jars as you can from your neighbors. Essentially, I want you to go into debt and borrow a jar and owe a jar, you know, to that. And as many jars as you borrow, I will fill with oil.
Wow.
And if you go read the story, I don't know how many she gathered. The Bible doesn't tell us. But every one that she gathered was filled with oil that paid off all her bad debt. House is not foreclosed on. Son's not taken away to slavery because of the willingness to go out into debt and borrow.
Yeah.
So it's when I read that, I knew, you know, that, man, this is, it's just, like I said, it's just the number one accelerator to create wealth.
Yeah, that's so good. And there's so many times in the Word that God tells a character in the Bible, a person in the Bible to do something that required them overcoming their fear, like you said.
Yeah.
But they were still obedient to that. And God always fulfills on his promises. They never come back void.
Yeah.
And that's powerful because I think there's just a fear mindset that we let consume us, that like, we're like scared, like if this doesn't work out. And I just have to say, we live in the greatest country in the world,
100%.
Like the worst thing that can happen. Like I had this discussion the other day with a buddy and I actually have a pretty colorful past. I think, you know, some of it,
sure.
But, at one time I was a drug dealer and I was selling weed and this and that, and a total spin on the story, but stick with me guys here. I promise. I got a point off of this. There was a time in my life I woke up every day, Jeff, and I knew that either I was going to get arrested and I was going to go to jail or someone was going to take my life, you know, or I was going to live another day.
Yeah.
And that was a reality that I faced.
Yeah.
And I was talking with a friend who had a colorful past as well. And we're both strong in our faith. We're building our businesses. God has done a work in our life.
Yep.
And we were talking about our risk tolerance too. And I was like, you know, it's really interesting because I think back to those days in my life and that was a reality I faced every day. And now the worst thing that can happen is my business fails. You go buy a real estate property and it doesn't go well. And you file bankruptcy in the greatest country in the world and you get out of it and you can, you know, look at your $200 and then you got started again on that dream. And then when you tie God into that in faith and you hear from the Holy Spirit, I just think like so many Christians are so afraid of taking risk. Like we've gotten so comfortable.
Oh, I agree. No risk it, no biscuit, man. I mean, it's that's what it comes down to. But I'm about risk, but I'm also about, to circle back, I'm about educated risk.
Yeah.
Is, you know, there's when,
yeah, you're not gambling.
Yeah, exactly.
You're very educated. You know, yeah. Things don't always go the way you want, but you've had massive education in real estate, knowing the deals you're going to make, vetting the numbers. You guys teach this in Kingdom
3. Oh, yeah, yeah. The higher the education, the lower the risk. But in the less the education, the higher the risk. But in business and entrepreneurship, and certainly real estate, you can't ever eliminate risk. That's another way to, how do you know it's a scam? Is if they're saying there's no risk, because there's always risk.
Yeah.
It can't be eliminated. But again, the higher the education, you know, the lower the risk there. And I had a point I was going to say. What was it? What was I going to say? I lost it. Maybe it'll come back in a minute.
The higher the risk, I was trying to, it might come higher, to you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll ask this other question. Explain how going bankrupt for you was one of the best things that ever happened to you.
Yeah, I kind of mentioned it earlier. Yeah,
you kind of hit on that a little.
Yeah, it's just, you know, when I look back at that period of my life, I was a Christian. I was going out building, you know, these properties and saying I was doing it for God. And I was doing it for God, but I wasn't doing it with God. And going bankruptcy humbled me to the point to where I started doing things with God, you know, partnering, you know, with him. Partnering with him on the business. So, you know, so to me, that is the big difference. And for those of you that maybe are going through a hard business failure, you know, a hard time, I remember during those days, Christians in my church, they would mean well, but they're like, oh, brother, God's going to work things together for the good, you know?
Yeah.
And I would just want to slap them, you know, cause I mean, you don't understand what I'm going through. But I remember my pastor said, he said, Jeff, I don't want you to try to make sense of it. Just keep pressing forward. Don't give up. Keep pressing into God. And he said, a day will come. He says, you're going to recover. You're going to be very wealthy. And a day will come that you don't just look back on these times and see how God used it for the good, but you'll actually thank him for the times.
Wow.
And God.
And do you thank him now?
I do. God does not waste our pain. Nothing we've been through. No heartache. No matter how big or how little. God doesn't waste it. And he's a redeemer of all things. And it's just, I calculate my net worth. I fill out a financial statement, income, expenses, you know, assets, liabilities. And, I do it the first of every month. To me, wow. It's part of being a good steward of what God's put in my hand and, you know, all of that. And, you know, this past month, you know, when I went bankrupt back in 2008, my father took us in, you know, gave us an extra bedroom. He's always, you know, he didn't teach me faith or anything growing up, but he's always been there for me. And I always know he loved and cared for me. And, I did my net worth. And I remember being like, wow, like just knowing where, how far God brought me from and things look now. But the reason I bring my dad up, he's 82, going through a divorce. And he can't keep his home. So I remember just like, he called me and he told me this and I'm like, all right, Dad, I'll pray for you, you know, type of thing. And then I was doing my net worth exercise and I'm like, God, you've been so, and long story short, I'm just buying the house for my dad. And
a full circle.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And, I am thankful for it. And that's the thing. As long as we stay in that position of gratitude and thankfulness to God and generosity to me, because one thing my pastor said in 08, that was, I never forgot this. And it ended up being so true. He says, Jeff, he says, you're going to recover. You're going to be wealthy. And he says, when that happens, you're going to realize as tough as it has been to manage failure, it's going to be 10 times harder to manage success.
Wow.
And he's been 100% true. When the money starts flowing and you know, you know, all of this, it's very easy. And the devil wants you to now, you know, turn to that, you know, and to be dependent on it. I've found, you know, to continue grow and continue increasing your net worth, you have to stay grateful along the way. You have to stay thankful and you have to be generous. You have to, like, to me, if you ever feel in your life stress around money, you know, like Biggie said, more money, more problems. And and there's a truth to that.
Yeah.
But when I feel stress coming to, you know, our first instinct now, me and my wife, is to give. We're not letting money control us. Now, our stresses about money in 2008 were a lot different than our stresses about money now. But when there's ever stress around your finances, one of the biggest cures is giving and being generous. And every time my wealth has kind of plateaued, I'll notice I got comfortable in my giving or relaxed, or I'm not, you know, pushing it. And, yeah. And
someone needs to hear this right now. I just feel it.
Yeah. And and it's just, you know, just, I would encourage those of you listening, you know, instead of setting income goals, what you're going to make next year, set giving goals.
Wow.
And, you know, the more that we can get, you know, intentional, you know, about that, the real estate fund that, I started with some partners, is our vision of that is ultimately on this most recent deal we pay our investors, you know, 12-14% on their money. And then before we profit, we're giving away 13% of the overall profits to charity. Our next building, we're going to give 14%, then 15. Our goal is to bring it up to where 85% of profits are going into the hands of God's people and nonprofits that are advancing his kingdom.
Come
and
on.
What we rally around, like, that excites us. Like, it's almost like an afterthought of what we're making. But if you're in the position where you're giving away 85%, you're making a lot of money, and yeah, all your needs are taken care of. But I really believe that, you know, cause God is looking again, he's just looking for who can he get money through? You know, he's not looking to get it to us. He's looking to get it through us. And when God sees that, man, give this guy another $1 million, and he goes and he gives away this much amount, man, then I want to put more millions, you know, yeah, you know, through that. So I think God is strategic in that way. And it makes sense if you read his word.
That is kingdom building.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
man,
for being obedient to what God has put on your heart. You know, you think about the wealth in this world, and if only just more leaders led in that same way.
Amen, man. But I'm excited, Cody, because like I said, God is doing something special in the marketplace, and there's an anointing and there's a flow on it. And it doesn't matter. It's not about our personal qualifications. It's just literally about stepping out in faith. And, you know, I told you before we started with my business, sometimes I feel like I'm just holding on for dear life. It's kind of like you're just in this like lazy river. That's just, there's this current that is just going. And when you jump into that, God's doing some really special things, man.
Yeah. Well, I know after listening to this, as we wrap up, there are people that are like, Jeff, where do I get more of you at? And, you know, you guys are doing amazing things through Kingdom 320. Guys, yeah, Jeff won't say it, he's too humble, but if you guys want mentorship, you want to connect with Jeff, you want to work with Jeff, you want to learn from him on how to be a Christian and a good steward and faithful and build wealth in real estate with the proper mentorship, with the proper education, and with the right community, there's nobody I would endorse more than you guys and what you're doing. I learned so much. I get to be in proximity doing your content. You know, I got to tell you something, that every time Esther gets around you or goes to your events, she comes back and we're talking about what she learned.
Oh, that's
we're
awesome.
Talking about the nuggets that we picked up from you guys about real estate and some of the best things in life you catch, but you got to be in the room to catch it.
That's so true.
So how can people be a part of Kingdom 320? How can they find you?
Kingdom320.com. We're right online. Or what am I supposed to say? You could follow us on.
Yeah, so I'm the social media guy. Let me plug it in there.
Where am I, Cody?
I am Jeff Rakowski. Instagram, TikTok, all that. He's on YouTube. So make sure you guys follow him on social media. It's my job to grow that. So help me out here. But the big thing is, you know, even through your content, I shouldn't say this, but you're my favorite client.
Wow.
Because of, we align so much in our values and our beliefs, and you practice what you preach. And it's interesting, as we make your content, it's tough because we're trying to be strategic and build a company, but we always want to keep the heart behind it.
Right.
And I feel that we've done a great job because of who you are. You've actually made my job easy because you live it. Even here being in the studio, talking to you, I can tell you guys, like, soon as the podcast ends, Jeff's the same guy when we put the mics down as he was on the show. Yeah. That's Thank a rare you. Quality to have. So go follow Jeff, go connect with Jeff, and go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I feel the same way about you, man. And I'm assuming there's probably a lot of Christians, obviously, that listen to this. And I know you're trying to close, but just one last thought is, when the world is looking at us, and even other Christians are looking at our business, the number one question that they're asking themselves, and they won't purchase your product, they won't move forward with any service until they answer this, is this: number one, is this person really following Jesus, or are they using Jesus to try to sell me something? Mm. And that goes back to what you just said. It's just the most powerful thing we can do for our businesses is live the gospel, you know, and pour into our marriages, pour into our families, you know, and put in the work and let God do the rest.
Yeah, come on. Well, hey, Jeff Rakowski, thank you so much for coming on the Cody Cottle Show. This was such a special interview. I look forward to doing another one in a year or two and getting an update on where you're at, where Kingdom 320 is at, and just the impact you made in the world. You have so much wisdom to impart. It's a longer podcast, but I just kept it going because I'm like, this is so good. Man, I don't want to stop it right now. But guys, go connect with Jeff, and just remember, calling all Christians out there, you are called to prosper in your life. You don't have to play it small. You don't have to hide behind and take the cop out. You know, there's nothing special about Jeff. There's nothing special about me. There's nothing special about all of the people you see in the world that are living out the lives that you wish you had. The only thing that is holding you back in your life is you. And if you just seek God first, and if you just step into who He's called you to be, and you listen to Him, and you get instruction, and you start getting around people like Jeff, they're going to activate that anointing on your life. It might not be the same as Jeff. It might not be real estate. That's okay. Maybe it is real estate, but you got to get around the people that are going to ignite that in you so you can begin to step in and live out your calling. Because the worst thing that could ever happen is God designed you for greatness and you take it to the grave, that you never, ever, ever live up to it. So that's my call for you guys today. If you love the podcast, my podcast team always tells me to promote it more. Guys, all I ask is, we do this for free. I finance this whole project. I don't do it to make money. I do it to build the kingdom. The only thing I ask is share it with somebody. Share it with somebody that you know this will impact their life. That's how you can help us reach more people. Go make today great.